You are not to discuss this matter amongst yourselves.
We don't submit reports or ask approval for specific operations, if that's what you mean. We are an autonomous department.
Any questions?
Broadcasting from an abandoned subspace relay orbiting Risa, this is Section 31, gathering intelligence for you on Star Trek CCG. Now reporting in, operatives Dan and Rogue.
Hey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Section 31, Episode 195. I'm Rogue Schindler.
And I'm Dan Hammond. On today's show, we're going to count why Rogue is wearing the headwear that he is. And we're also going to talk about what happened over the last weekend and what we've got coming up. And I've got we've got a spoiler for an upcoming What Do You Set. So you did not enter a card tournament, but you entered something else that you seem to have won, yes?
I did?
Maybe not. What did you do this weekend?
I went to Comic-Con. Oh, yes, I did. Sorry, I was like... I was on Trek mode, so I was thinking, like, raffle, because I was sitting in a panel grumbling that the panel was yet again on a day when I was otherwise occupied. And if I'd thought about it, I would have realized that my swanky new phone would have let me actually log into the raffle while I was in my panel, but I did not think about it, and it's probably for the better because I was in the middle of getting ready for the San Diego Comic-Con Masquerade.
Well, what panel was going on during the raffle?
I think it was...
Did your mind extend that far back beyond the Masquerade?
What time was it at?
Like 1 o'clock on Saturday.
So that would have been Bones. Oh, wait, no, it was Saturday. I wasn't in a panel. I was walking the floor.
Yeah.
Friday, I was in panels all day, which was awesome. We got up at O'Dark 30 to get in line because it was so hard to get in last year. But as it turns out, that was because it was the 10th anniversary of Firefly. And this year, it was not the 10th anniversary of Firefly. And they had no 11th anniversary of Firefly panel. So it was easier to get in. We were able to get to see the Big Bang Theory Writers' Room panel and the Legend of Korra panel, which I was super excited about. They showed it was kind of funny because it's been a whole year since the panel last year, and they still haven't had new episodes because Nickelodeon is kind of a pain in the ass. But they're coming up, and they're coming up so soon that we actually got to see the first episode of the next season, which was awesome. And then after sitting through some other stuff, we got to see the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. panel, which had Joss Whedon and Marissa and Jed Whedon and the whole cast, including Agent Coulson, and they brought everybody out, and we're like, hey, this is our cast, and we're like, yay, we don't know these people, but yay, I'm sure they're going to be really cool. And like the third question was, can you show us a clip? And Joss was like, well, you brazen hussy. I really wish we could show you a clip. But unfortunately, with Disney and Marvel and working out legal problems, we can't really show you a clip. So we're just going to have to show you the whole episode. So we got to see all 42 minutes of the pilot for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which was amazing. Like, not just excited because it's continuation of the Marvel Universe, exciting, like actually really well constructed, well written, interesting characters. I'm gonna love this show. Interesting.
If I remember correctly, and it's possible I don't because I only saw it maybe once, maybe twice. Didn't that guy die in that movie? Is this like a prequel? Or
he did, and I'm really sad that I changed my shirt after working outside all day. Otherwise, I would turn around and you would be able to see my Comic-Con exclusive Coulson Lives across my back on my t-shirt, on my Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. t-shirt.
All right.
Coulson Lives. That's the point of the story.
Not a comic book movie. I guess we didn't see him. Didn't we see him die?
We did see him die. And I'll tell you what. It is not... they actually refer to it in the opening episode, and it's still not any less... I can give you a spoiler. You want a spoiler? Spoiler alert.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, what network is this coming on?
It's on ABC because they're both owned by Disney.
Wow.
So this is actually going to be on, you know, regular television.
Network television.
So what night is it starting on, and what night are they going to move it to? And
it's
then
on.
What night are they going to move it to after that?
Son of a bitch. It's not funny because it's true. It premieres, let's see, they made us chant this like three times, so I should remember it. September 25th on ABC.
Okay.
And it's cool. Really, really good.
Were you in Hall H when Loki came out?
I was not, but I heard about it.
I saw the video.
I felt the roar under the floor.
It was hilarious to watch.
I
don't think I've ever seen an actor come out in character and just work the crowd for that much. You know.
There's a running joke on Tumblr that Tom Hiddleston knows he's not actually Loki, right? he really, really enjoys being Loki. So that was pretty awesome that he came out. Yeah, I was a little miffed. That was actually the biggest panel that I missed that I was bummed about, because it was at 6:00 on Saturday, and you have to report in for masquerade prep at 5:30. So there was literally no way I could go. But I heard it was really awesome, and that obviously. And he, the next day, Sunday, he walked the floor in that outfit. He had a signing at Marvel booth, and it was pretty awesome.
You know, I guess it's good that they got someone who's, you know, working the crowd, living it up, you know, enjoying the role and not hiding from it, not worried about being typecast, I guess.
Hey, you know what? If his tweets can be believed, Hugh Jackman dressed up as Wolverine of his own volition and just wandered the floor on Sunday and did not get recognized once. According, he says he got one, oh, that's not bad, and one, you're too tall.
I was going to say he's probably short, but he's too tall.
Yeah. Well, that was a big... upset. That was why the only real complaint when they cast him to begin with was he's like 6'2", and Wolverine should be like, you know, 5'2".
Well, I just naturally assumed actor, you know, 4'7". All right.
Yeah, but it was amazing. That day of panels, there were actually two more panels that we were kind of interested in after that. And we kind of, it was with my friend Steve, who came out for his first Comic-Con, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, it's just not going to get any better than that. Let's go. So we left and went down and walked the floor for a while. Plus, we had been there since 5:30 to get in line, so we were a little tired.
Right, so how did the Masquerade go this year?
You know, it was interesting. We, since last year, had been planning, you know, we put a lot of work into it, and there was some drama and stress getting everything done in time. You know, we won Best in Show. So this year we're like, okay, this is going to be drama-free, stress-free year. We're going to do a fun little number and just enjoy ourselves. And that didn't happen. We still waited too long and, you know, we had some stress, but it was really fun. We had a great group of people. It was almost like a mini reunion of friends, from MIT, Musical Theater Guild, because, we had some transplants who have followed us out here. We did a lot of theater. My wife went to MIT, for those of you who don't know, and I did a lot of musical theater with them at a community theater on campus. And some other friends of ours live in Arizona, and they came out, and another friend of ours lives in LA, and she came down, and another friend who actually wrote the music that we used came out, and we were like, hey, also, we need this character if you want to come out. And he was like, yeah, sure. And we're like, oh, okay, awesome. So it was like a reunion of people who had done the show before. We did an excerpt from, I've mentioned it a couple times, I co-wrote a Star Wars parody musical with a friend of ours, Jeff Cease, and we decided we were going to do an excerpt called Tatooine to the tune of America from West Side Story, because the theme kind of fits. It's Uncle Owen and Luke arguing over whether or not he should stay on Tatooine or leave and go join the rebellion which is, you know, in the same theme of the original, whether we should stay in America or go back to Puerto Rico. It's pretty entertaining. I can say that because I think I only wrote half of it. I'm sure the other half is really good. The half I didn't write. Mine is okay. And Steve did some great arranging of the music, integrating the Star Wars. He's the one who came out, and he played Uncle Owen, and a friend of ours played Luke, and the rest of us were all dancing Jawas. And the reason we did it is my wife always wanted to do, like, Latin costumes for that, for the Jawas. And when we did the show before, we're trying to make 60 Star Wars costumes, and we just didn't have time to do extra stuff. It's like, brown robes, go, you know, light up eyes, and we're done. So we cut the number down to about 2.5 minutes. There's some funny dialogue. They sing, and we had a rolling sandcrawler come out that was 8 feet high. Nice. And it goes by. We kind of shuffled behind it, and as it got to halfway stage, it keeps going, and the Jawas are there on their knees. And then they sing and dance, and about halfway through the music, there's a dance break. And so the Jawas pop up all of a sudden instead of being on their knees, the short little Jawas, and under their robes, they pull up these Latin multicolored petticoats, you know, if you've ever seen. You've seen West Side Story at least once. I know you have, even if it was against your will. And they swish their big Latin skirts back and forth, and they got the big colorful petticoats underneath. So we did that. We had a big Latin dance number. Instead of I, we shouted "Ooh, teeny!" During the dance breaks, and then there's a little more dialogue, and then we dance again, and that was it. And we're like, they may not get it. They may hate it, but we're going to have a lot of fun. We'll entertain ourselves, and we'll like get to do the show again. And the crowd went apeshit. I could not believe how much they enjoyed it. We were stunned that they really enjoyed it. They went right along with it. One of the things at Masquerade is they entertain themselves a little too much, and they start chanting different things. The MC has them say the numbers along with the Masquerade entry. So, okay, entry number 8. Many years ago, probably decades ago by now, they started saying entry number, and everybody says 8. Like the count. And like 2 or 3 years ago, they've started adding to the chant, and they'll add one. It's like Simon. After every number, they'll add another bit to the chant. So by entry 10, it's getting pretty lengthy. But after we came on, there were like 5 or 6 other numbers, and at the end of the chant, they added "Utini." I was like, okay,
awesome.
We have officially arrived. I think we have the approval of the crowd, and that was in fact what we won. We got audience favorite, which was something that we've never won before, and that we've always kind of wish we did. They have a number of judges awards that you get trophies for, and we usually get a trophy of some kind, which is cool. But there are also a number of company sponsored awards, and they get cash or merchandise from those companies, and we've never got those before. and this year we got the company sponsored audience favorite, which was $1,000.
Nice.
So that was amazing. It was really cool to finally kind of be recognized. You know, we've gotten best performance, which we love. We've gotten best in show, which was amazing. But we've never got audience favorite. So that was really cool. It was really good to know that like the audience appreciated our entry. And we also got a Sideshow prize, which was cool. $350 gift certificate at Sideshow Collectibles. And most humorous trophy. So 3 awards, 1 entry. Floored.
Nice. Well, congratulations.
So very exciting. For our let's relax and just have fun year, that was a unexpected and a lot of fun. So.
Now, is there a YouTube link that we can post in the show notes?
There is. I will. I'll get that to you.
All right. Yeah, send it along, and I'll post it when I post the episode. I'll post it on the Section 31 site, which is at danhammond.com/section31.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, you seem to have survived. And you spent the day Sunday. Did you go back again?
I did. We went back and had it was I had not yet been there at opening. I was there at opening once to work, and then didn't quite make it there for opening it after that. So that was my last chance to get there and get any exclusives I wanted to get. So I did manage to get my exclusive Nickelodeon official Pabu from Legend of Korra. So instead of the Frankenstein stuffed animal monster that I created, I horrified the women in line behind me as we were waiting for Korra. Like, "Oh, I love your little weasel. How did you make that? That's Pabu, right?" And I was like, "Well, they said in the panel that he's, because all the animals in the Legend in the Avatar universe are hybrid animals, you know, like
Sure.
the walrus monkey and the rabbit snake and the wolf bat, and he is a fire ferret, which is a red panda and a ferret." So I went on Amazon and I found a red panda stuffed animal and a fire ferret stuffed animal that were of a like size, and I tore them apart and I put them back together. And I was like, Tim was like, "Yeah," and I ripped his ears off and I moved those over and I just kind of put those over his ears, and then I ripped the tail off and I moved that over, and it worked out. So I got a little orange paint pen because he was a little too brown and made him orange, and he's a little skinny, he's a little on the ferret side, he needs a little bit fatter, so I think I'm going to slit him down the middle when I get home and transfer some of the stuffing so he's a little fatter.
The future in taxidermy.
but now I have the official screen accurate. His tail is not very fluffy, but I think he'll be cool. It's like when I got my official Pirates monkey for my Barbossa costume. My little mini Curious George got retired.
Right. So is this something you're going to be able to use on your next trip out to Dragon Con?
Definitely, definitely. I'm excited. He will make his debut, Pabu 2.0, at Dragon Con. I'll probably bring Pabu Prime anyway, just because he has fans. I posted a picture on Facebook of the new one, and they're like, "Oh, but I like the old one." So maybe I'll have two. Maybe I'll switch off. And I also got my brother. And as it turns out, me, some little pony memorabilia here, my little princess crown and my unicorn horn, which, as turned out, I spent the last 2 weeks costuming and watching My Little Pony on YouTube. Long story short, my younger brother has been 8 years old for about 8 years. And now he's 16, and for until last year still acted like an 8-year-old, and then we miraculously showed up after about 6 months of having not visited, and he turned from a monster barbarian child into a human being. It was fascinating. He was courteous. He was playing well with others. He was getting texts from people, which I did not understand because he has no friends. And yeah, it's because he's watch My Little Pony, and friendship is magic. It has turned him into a human being, and so I was like, there is some magical power going on here. I need to find out what's up. And I knew Comic-Con was coming. I was like, "Oh, cool. I'll watch it so I know." We got him a My Little Pony shirt as a joke, and we got him the wrong one. It was like Generation One or something, and not the new show. So we're like, "Well, crap. Now I have to watch this so I know what to get, so I get the right thing at Comic-Con." And now I'm addicted.
I'm sorry.
It's awesome, and don't worry, I've already made sure that when Debbie came down with Cordelia, that she got a bunch of memorabilia too, so she will be addicted.
Yeah, I saw the comic. It was nice, signed by the artist and signed by the author, and
Yeah.
yeah, that'll be something that she won't even notice as she's flipping through the pages, but maybe years from now.
Well, I have an extra, so yeah, when she realizes what she's missing. By having the pristine copy, we'll have a backup.
Funny, I was trying to think of some kind of card sleeve or protector I can put the book in, but I don't think that's going to work out. All right.
Well, you
Well,
could probably fit it in a comic page, in a comic bag.
no, this is like a hardback.
Oh, the har yeah, the Harmony book. Yeah.
Okay.
Never mind. There's also a like a comic trade paperback that they had an exclusive hardback edition at Comic-Con for some. It was really funny to watch, get so many more costumes at Comic-Con now. It's like, oh, you're that pony, and you're that pony, and you're that pony.
Okay. All right, well...
Don't worry, I'll help you out when Cordelia asks you for a pony costume.
I'll send her your way. All right. Should we talk about some bit of Star Trek before, you know, everyone unsubscribes from this feed?
Sure. You know, John DeLancey is a brony.
Imagining some silvery pony thing with his Q on its haunch.
He essentially plays the same character.
Oh, he's actually in the show?
Funny. Yeah. He plays not Chaos, Discord, which is of course the enemy of harmony. So he's like the Q-like character. All but right. I guess he got the job, and then he found out he really liked the show, so now he goes to brony conventions. My brother was quick to point this out to me when he was trying to sell me.
All right.
Also, there are some Star Trek card things we could talk about. Is that what you were going for?
Yeah, really, that's kind of what I was going for there.
Well, it looks like we have a transmission here for a Delta Quadrant mission.
His mission makes me sad on many levels. Do you know
many
why?
Many levels. Why is that?
This mission started out as a staple in my Delta Quadrant Borg deck.
Oh, this is a... is this a conversion?
It is.
Now...
Yeah.
You have to, you know, work harder.
Well, here's the thing. It used to be a nebula.
So you could use your... cheater cards and seed there. And now you cannot
seed a transwarp hub. Not only that, it also gained affiliation icon, so you can't even put your Unicomplex there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you kind of got hosed with that.
I mean, the reason it was nice was you could have two nebulas. You could have two locations where the Unicomplex could technically go. So that, you know, you have to guess a little bit if your opponent's doing the Delta Quadrant harness particle. Well, this is collect Omicron particles. This is a conversion of the 2E card. And it is no longer a nebula, unfortunately. It is, now, however, a persona of the same mission that came in the Voyager expansion, which I believe I got here. I've got that here. It used to be Heal Lifeform. It's the same picture. It's just zoomed in a little bit less on Heal Lifeform.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
You know, so it's...
Let me go ahead and put this up on the screen here.
So how does that work?
Well, it's just like Vulcan. Right?
So you can't... If you see is Vulcan, it nucleogenic cloud? Is that the description of Heal Lifeform? So that's what makes it a unique identifier?
Yeah. So I'll first let me share the actual card here. So it's collect Omicron particles. It's got the three Delta Quadrant affiliation icons on there. Kazon, Hirogen, and Vidian, not in that order. It is 8V, although I don't know if that's still subject to change. I guess everything here is subject to change.
Yeah, standard spoiler rules apply.
Yeah, it is space mission span 4. Engineer, leadership, astrophysics, navigation, adjacent missions. So it carries over the text that used to be on the 2E card, where moving from here to moving between that and a different Delta Quadrant mission, your span minus one, you know, your range plus one or span minus one, whatever. So adjacent missions are span minus one. So moving there is easier. Moving away is easier in this case.
Huh. Oh, interesting. Yeah. So once you're getting there. And then moving away is going to be minus one.
Yeah. You know what? Let me do this.
Well, no, even you know, if you have to move more than one mission, you're still going to be minus one for those. So.
Yeah. All right, so this is all three of them lined up. So we got the 2E1 on the left, the old 1E persona of this mission on the right, and then this one in the middle.
Very cool.
Yeah, so it looks fantastic.
Wow, I can't wait to see somebody playing one side collect Omicron particles and the other side heal life form.
So if I seed one and you seed the other, they're going to go on top of each other.
Right, but I can do my Fed version and you can do your Vidian version.
Exactly, yeah. So it maintained engineer and leadership, and astrometrics turned into astrophysics, and it maintained the navigation. It lost the cunning requirement. So it's a...
Which is disappointing considering it's a Delta mission and
that
they're
is a Delta
easy
mission
to visit in.
With four mission specialistable points, right?
Yeah, that's kind of disappointing. I'm not going to lie.
55 points if in the zone doesn't drop out. That's a lot of points. But
yeah,
that's also a lot of mission specialists for an affiliation that would have to rely on non-alliance.
No, well, I mean, they all have one now, right? Wasn't that the thing? All of those guys have gotten a virtual mission specialist.
Yeah, I don't recall offhand if any of them would be helpful.
If any of them have the matching skills.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, hey, there's always Suna.
Yeah, well, you know, I was thinking, that's a lot of Suna. I was thinking, man, that's got Federation Mission Specialist deck written all over it, except for the part that would require the Federation to attempt it. It does not have that at the bottom.
Right, right.
So, yeah, until those affiliations, the first two, the Kazon and the Vidians, gain the ability to team up with the Feds, it probably is not as bad as it could be. So I retract my initial,
sure.
Wow, that's a lot of mission.
Well, you know, but you can play Fed, and, you know, you STP, or not space-time, put a temporal micro-wormhole in and a Vidian, and...
Yes.
Go attend.
I suppose you could do that, but then you'd be playing you have to play with a Necrit supply depot to report your mission specialist in the Delta Quadrant?
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting mission. If the number is correct, this is 8, so I guess that starts pretty early on in the alphabet for C is for collect. The lore is nucleogenic cloud, just like the heal life form. The text says, harvest rare substance for use as replacement power source. So
cool.
It looks like this is thematically the opposite side of the story from heal life form.
So right.
Federation want to come in and heal the life form, everyone else comes is going to take advantage.
Yeah. And it seems to have the expansion icon for that mysterious planetscape that we were talking about last time.
Yeah, I think the Collective has dictated this as Pejor, which is odd because they were not the next affiliation released, but then again, it would be odd to have a Borg.
Yeah, if you look at the 2E version, they're kind of the next major, them and Cardassia are the next two major affiliations, really. I mean, unless you count Ferengi.
Right. I would probably have to guess we'll see Cardassia next, and then Ferenginar, and then maybe Dominion.
Yeah. I would definitely wager Cardassia next.
All right. Let's make sure we got everything. 35 points, Delta Quadrant icon. There's, of course, the conversion icon on the bottom left, span of 4. Is that everything?
Is the lore basically the same? Nucleogenic cloud, harvest rare substance for use as replacement power source.
Right. All right.
And span of 4.
All right. Well, I look forward to seeing that being inserted in the speculation lists that are going up. Yeah. Like I said, that I haven't played Borg since, you know, before They Will Be Coming is out. So I feel like I'm being pushed into it because that was a whole build putting that
hurry up and play it again before it goes away.
I guess so. My nebula is gone. I don't know what I'm going to do now. I'll have to think of something else. hey, maybe there'll be something else in here that's a nebula.
Ah, there you go. Replacement nebula.
All right. Well, anything else?
I did remember one thing that I feel I'll obligated to mention, is that I really shouldn't have had any doubt once our running order was announced that we would be successful at Masquerade, because we were entry number 31.
You know, it's funny, because I was running through the numbers in my head. Let's see. Were you entry number 1,138? Entry number 42? No? This is a Star Trek show. Maybe you're entry number 47. No? 31. No,
I even stopped Brian. I was like, hey, now I have an excuse to talk about this on the show.
Awesome. All right. Well, congrats to everyone who won something in the raffle. That was last weekend. That was a lot of fun to do. Thanks for everyone for joining me in the chat room. And I think we're probably out. We have a tournament lined up for this weekend, a second edition tournament, so we're kind of back to normal around here, at least for a weekend. Are you going to be joining us?
Crazy. I don't know. My father-in-law's in town still from Comic-Con, and he is helping work on stuff around the house, so I may join you and I may not.
Probably would be good not to abandon the person doing work in your house.
Yeah, especially since he just bought us a 50-inch TV.
Maybe I'll send you a text when we're going to do Tribbles.
Yeah, that'd be good. I could definitely break for Tribbles.
All right, sounds like a plan. We haven't played Tribbles in a while, it feels like. Our normal Friday Tribbles have all been abandoned in favor of other things like Legendary and whatnot.
Hey, you know what? We played Legendary before gaming because somebody was at the buffet instead of coming straight to gaming and eating there.
No, I was actually stuck in traffic. I would have loved to have been at the buffet instead. Anyway, all right, then let's wrap this.
All right. Well, that is our Comic-Con wrap-up. If you have any questions, you can feel free to PM me or email me at section31@danhammond.com. I will put some links in an email and send them to Dan so he can put them on the website. and then you can watch it. It'll be it's fantastic. I'm really proud of it. In the meantime, I am Sir Rogue.
And I'm Sir Dan.
And I will remind you all to expand your convention power in the universe.
That's how we'll draw it in. You cannot run, you cannot hide, and you cannot defect. They are always watching you, but you cannot detect. Section 31. Section 31.